Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Honored to be here. And we're honored to be here for several reasons. Number one, because the presence of God abides here. You know, there are some churches you go to that the presence of God comes in and goes out. Comes in and goes out. But the presence of God abides in this place. It abides here. And not just in the sanctuary. It abides on these grounds. Somebody shout hallelujah. It abides on the grounds. It abides in the children's ministry. It abides in the youth ministry. It abides in the nursery and in the preschool. The presence of God abides in this place. Hallelujah. Because your pastors make sure that they stay in the presence of God. Now, what he didn't tell you, I am his pastor, but I've called him for counsel on more than one time. More than one time through the years. How many of you know we all need help? No matter who we are, we all need help at some point in time. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence that is here right now. Because you said you would inhabit the praises of your people, and we've done that. So that means you have honored your word, and you are abiding in this place. And Jesus, we welcome you. You said where two or more gathered in your name, there you would be in the midst of them. And I know there's at least two of us gathered here in your name. So that means that you are here, right here with us today. So Jesus, I'm asking you, don't be here just to fulfill that scripture, but fill every need of every individual that is present as we reach out and take hold of you by faith. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, I honor you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the church. Jesus sent you to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to take my words and speak heaven's words into the heart of every person present that we will not be the same in Jesus' name. And somebody shout, amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to be ministering today and talking to you today about prayer, but about prophetic prayer. The Lord just dropped something down in my heart about prophetic prayer several months ago, and I've ministered, and actually the Lord ministered something to my heart that unless he tells me otherwise, that wherever I go and minister, he wants me to minister this topic, unless he tells me otherwise. And so he didn't tell me. I thought this morning he was telling me otherwise, but he didn't. Hallelujah. So I'm going to continue ministering on what he's told me to minister on. Hallelujah. And let me share this, what the Lord spoke to me. Cornerstone Fellowship, and I love y'all's new logo, by the way. I love that. That's Cornerstone. Hallelujah. That's pretty sharp right there, all right? Anyway, Cornerstone Fellowship Church is an awesome, anointed, awakening, and authoritative church. Say this with me, Cornerstone Fellowship Church is an awesome, anointed, awakening, and authoritative church. It's awesome because you have a strong leadership team of staff and volunteers. You got a strong leadership team. Not every church has a strong leadership team, but you got a strong leadership team, both of paid staff and volunteers, both of pastors and staff and volunteers. And it's anointed because I said earlier the anointing abides here. It doesn't come and go. It's an awakening church. Everybody say awakening. Awakening. It's an awakening church because you have been delegated authority from heaven, not just over your church, but over this area. You have been given delegated authority over this area and this region to be watchmen on the walls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have been given and delegated authority over this area in First time I came up here, I thought, where in the world are we? I mean, we come riding down the road. I had directions on how to get here. And all of a sudden, you come down and cornfields everywhere, and you come down and boom, here sits this huge complex in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, wow, look what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. But he had to have someone that was willing to pray, someone willing to stand in the gap, someone willing to take the shots, someone willing to tell the truth, someone willing to preach the word, someone willing to be a leader for this area. Woo! Come on, somebody shout hallelujah! Glory to God. But I do feel like, can I come down here? I do feel like, though, that I feel led by the Spirit to share three things about forgiveness. I'm not going to preach on it, but I feel like I need to share three things about forgiveness. And there may be some folk that need to hear this. Well, excuse me. There are some folk that need to hear this, or I wouldn't be sharing it. Hallelujah. But number one, there are three types of forgiveness. And I didn't send this to them to put on the screen. There are three types of forgiveness. The first one is detached forgiveness. Everybody say detached. Detached forgiveness. What is detached forgiveness? The negative feelings toward another person are reduced, but there's no reconciliation. Did you hear that? In other words, you got unforgiveness toward someone, but the negative feelings toward that individual are reduced, but you're not interested in reconciliation. Aren't you glad God doesn't operate in detached forgiveness? Woo! Glory to God. And then there is limited forgiveness. What is limited forgiveness? Limited forgiveness is that negative feelings reduced and there's partial reconciliation. In other words, you'll speak to them if you see them. You don't really want to carry on a conversation, but you'll speak to them. Come on, there are people in churches that come to church. I mean, we just had someone in our church. And I was floored. Someone in our church says, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to speak to them. In our church! Come to our church! And they said, I'll forgive them, but I'll never speak to them again. Well, that's called limited forgiveness. Aren't you glad God does not have limited forgiveness? How many are glad he doesn't have limited forgiveness? Glory to God. And then there's full forgiveness. Full forgiveness means negative feelings disappear and there's total reconciliation. That's why you got to work toward. You got to work toward that. You know, forgiveness is a choice. Just like love is a choice. I choose to forgive you. I choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. If you're waiting on a feeling to forgive somebody, you're going to be waiting until Jesus returns. And then you might miss the first load. Because you hadn't forgiven them. Come on now. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus, well, I guess I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Jesus was pretty strong about forgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive your brother, how's God going to forgive you? I mean, think about this now. Boy, is this okay? Can I share this with you? Do you know that Peter walked up to Jesus one day, had his chest poked out? I love Peter. I'm telling you, I love Peter. If I'd have been a disciple in that day, I probably would have been Peter. Hey, if it's you, I want to walk on water. Bid me to come. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. You're the Christ. Not so, Lord. I mean, hello? Yeah. All right, and so, but here's Peter walks up to Jesus one day, and I could just see him, Pastor. He's got his chest poked out. Walks up and says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? In other words, he thought he was being really good. Seven times? Jesus said, no, Peter. 70 times seven. Just in case someone has a little issue with multiplication, that's 490 times. But now listen, that's not 490 times over a lifespan. That's 490 times in one day to one person about the same offense. I just doubt very seriously anybody here has ever been offended by one person 490 times in the same day. If you have, you should have left on the 439th time. Look, mind, I'd have left on the 246th time. I wouldn't have waited for 490. Are y'all with me? Yes. Hallelujah. So forgiveness is something that we must walk in as a church. As a matter of fact, hey, this is going to segue in, okay? As a matter of fact, if you don't walk in forgiveness, it'll hinder your prayers. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. And not only will unforgiveness hinder your prayers, but it will cause you as an individual, it causes us as individuals to not to feel like God hasn't forgiven us. We don't feel worthy of His forgiveness. We don't feel worthy of His love. And we certainly don't feel worthy of His blessing when we're walking in unforgiveness. So I just encourage you to make sure that regardless of what someone has done to you, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an old church you left, no matter if it's a Christian, businessman, you know, we expect heathens to act a certain way. But when the church hurts us, when Christians stab us in the back, when Christians take advantage of us, it hurts a whole lot worse. But when family members do it, it hurts even worse. We've had to forgive family members. We've had to forgive church members. I mean, if you pastor a year, you got to forgive somebody. Okay, move right along. Hallelujah. And but I believe God has dropped something down in my heart today concerning prophetic prayer. And I believe that it is time for us as a body of Christ to go to a higher level in prayer. I don't mean just your pastors. And I don't mean just the prayer ministry. You know, you got a prayer group, they meet here. You got Pastor Debbie meets and prays on Sunday morning. And then you got prayer time during the week and so forth. And I'm not talking about that group. That group prays. I'm talking about us individually who attend church, who come. And we must take our prayer life to another level. Can you say amen? Amen. And go to, open your Bibles if you will, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And let's look at something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And the Bible says, then he spoke a parable to them, hallelujah, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now the word men there, guess what it means? It means men. It's gender specific. He's talking to men. Good. But how many know it also infers, woe men. Amen. But he specifically stated, because he knew that he was going to encourage men later on in life to pray. You go to most prayer meetings. Now, last Wednesday night at our prayer, I didn't go last Wednesday night, sorry. Wednesday night before, we did a simulcast that day. But the Wednesday night before, we had as many men at prayer as we did women. I started to take a picture. And just show it, hallelujah. Why? Because you know, most prayer meetings you go to, it's got twice as many women in it as it does men. Because men think that's a woman's thing. Listen, it's not a woman's thing. It says men, it says he spoke a parable to them that men, all the men say amen. Amen. That was pitiful. All the men say amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. That men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Men, I know you've heard this from your pastor, and I know he said this to you more than once, but I'm going to say it again. Men, you are the prayer leader of your home. Thank you for that one come on and that one amen. Men, you are the prayer leader in your home. Hallelujah. My wife will ask me in the mornings, and we usually, you know, we drink our coffee. And if you don't drink coffee, don't judge me because I do. I drank a lot of it, hallelujah, in the mornings. But anyway, I just love the taste of it. But anyway, moving right along. Some people say, coffee? Yeah, I drink it. But now listen, we'll drink our coffee, and then after we've had our coffee, she'll usually say, most every morning she say, are we going to pray before we get up, or are we going to pray afterwards? I mean, almost 99% of the time, every morning she'll pray that. I'll say, oh, I ain't praying today. No, I don't say that. Well, did you see the looks I got when I said that? Hallelujah. But most of the time we'll pray right there. We'll pray. And then we'll spend that time in prayer. And we pray together. So husbands, listen to me. Fathers, listen to me. You should be praying with your spouses and your children. And your spouse and your children, your wife and your children should hear you pray, even when you're not praying with them. Hello? Amen? So in other words, we men must have, as far as Jesus is concerned, we men must have a prayer life. Can you say amen? And I know you work. I know you get up early and go to work. I know you're tired when you come home. And I know most women work outside of the home also. And you're tired when you get home and you got to cook and you got to get things ready and the husband, da, 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 da. I know that. I know that. However, you need to cut out a time, if it's not but 15 minutes at home, to pray together. And I'm not just talking about over the food. Come on now. Hallelujah. But if the only time you can pray is in the car on the way to work, then do it. But cut out a space of time. I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee, but I'm almost positive that most people watch more TV than they pray. Or most people spend more time on their mobile devices than they pray. Just cut a little bit of that out. Wow, my goodness, I was going to be really nice. Hallelujah. Look at this, it says, we were praying one morning, my wife said, Pastor, she calls me Pastor, Pastor, God is not deaf. I'm a little loud. She said, God is not deaf. I said, I know, but the devil's hard of hearing sometimes. Hallelujah. Amen. But I just get loud. And we'll open our door on our screen porch off our bedroom and pray. And our neighbors have sent me a text. I can hear you. Hallelujah. But you know what? That means the devil's listening too. Praise God. Are y'all with me? But you don't have to be loud. You don't have to pray, you know, 3 or 4 hours. If you make a decision, if you're not praying at home right now with your spouse, you're not praying at home right with your wife or husband, you're not praying at home right now with your children, make a decision today that you're going to spend at least 10 to 15 minutes a night or a morning or a day in prayer with your family. How many will do that? Raise your hand. If you'll be willing to make that commitment, all right? We got you on camera. Hallelujah. But men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That word always ought to pray means at all seasons, at all times and all seasons, for all occasions. Glory to God. And it must be a part of our daily life. And we gotta, what that is actually talking about is an attitude of prayer. An attitude of prayer. And I really believe that this is harvest season. I really believe this is harvest season. Now, I know in the natural that this is harvest season. I know in the natural this is where you know, we used to put the tobacco in the pack house, you know, and after we finished, and even through September, we'd prime tobacco and finish the last part of it, and it's in the pack house, and, you know, it's in the barn, and then take it out, put it in the pack house, then you got to take it to the and sell it, glory to God, and then you get your money. You don't get any money while you're out there priming the tobacco. You don't get any money in February when you start the plant bed. You don't get any money when you start planting it in the field. But you know there's harvest time coming. Look at your neighbor and say, it's harvest time. So increase your prayer life. Can you say amen? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are very familiar scriptures, but I just want us to look at them, and it's no problem in looking at a scripture more than once. Can you say amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on, somebody rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Listen, joy is not a feeling. Just like forgiveness is not a feeling. Joy is a choice. There is no such thing as unjoy. If you're trying to be happy, there's always unhappy. Whatever you got to make you happy, when it's taken away, you will be unhappy. But joy is a choice. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, and you will become an entire wanting nothing person. Glory to God. Pray without ceasing. That's what it says. Pray without ceasing. You know what that is? Once again, that's an attitude of prayer. And then verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everybody say, pray without ceasing. Amen. I'm not praying right now. I'm preaching. So what does this mean, pray without ceasing? What this means is exactly what it said earlier, that Jesus said always ought to pray, and that is we should maintain an attitude of prayer. An attitude of prayer is where you are ready, for that you are ready and willing that whenever the Holy Spirit moves on you, whenever the Holy Spirit directs you, whenever the Holy Spirit calls you to pray, you drop what you're doing and you pray. Hallelujah. How many remember Smith Wigglesworth? Brother George Stormont lived with him the last 2 years of his life, and Brother Stormont used to drive him to meetings last 2 years of his life. And they were on the way to a meeting one day, and Brother Stormont looked at Brother Smith Wigglesworth and said, how often do you pray when you pray, Brother Wigglesworth? And he said, oh, when I pray, I never pray more than 20 minutes when I pray. Well, now, Brother Stormont was shocked. He said he was flabbergasted that he said he never prayed more than 20 minutes. Then there was silence. He didn't say anything. He kept driving. I mean, who are you going to do? Rebuke Smith Wigglesworth? I don't think so. Anyway, he kept driving. And then a few, you know, maybe a minute or so later, he said, Brother Wigglesworth said, yep, but I'd never go 20 minutes without praying.
Amen.
That's an attitude of prayer. In other words, you're ready to pray anytime God says pray. Now look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Look up at me just a minute. They could have asked him anything. Personally, if I'd been there, I would have said, Lord, teach me how to do that thing you did out in the wilderness with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm going to start me a chain of fish and chips all over Galilee, all over, and even go into Samaria with them. And if you could teach me how to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 15,000 people, I'm going to be wealthy. Hallelujah. Or I could have said, Jesus, teach me how to do that walking on water thing that you did. You know I walked out to you and sunk, but I want you to teach me how to do it. Then I don't need this boat anymore. Are y'all with me? They could have asked him anything. Teach me how to do it. No, they said, teach us how to pray. Why? They saw him going from one place of prayer to another place of prayer and working miracles in between. Hallelujah. They saw him pray, work miracles, and pray. They saw that he prayed all night long, and then he named his 12 disciples, called them. Hallelujah. They saw that he would pull himself away. The disciples went to bed, but Jesus went to pray. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. And the other gospels say, you could call Luke a gospel of prayer. You go through it. Luke talks about it all the time. The other gospels say that Jesus was transfigured. But Luke says while he was praying, he was transfigured. The other gospels say that Jesus was crucified on the cross. But Luke says that while he was crucified, he prayed for those that were crucifying him. Glory to God. Can you say amen? See, this is a praying church. And I encourage you to become a part of the prayer ministry of this church. Glory to God. You'll be taught how. You say, well, I don't know how to pray like they do. They'll teach you how. Hallelujah. Now, I know y'all know this, but like I said, it bears repeating. There are seven types of prayer. Seven types of prayer. The prayer of commitment. And that is the only prayer. Listen to me. That is the only prayer you pray if it be thy will. There is no other prayer you pray if it be thy will. You ought to know the will of God. But the prayer of commitment is the prayer that you pray if it be thy will. And that's in James 4:15. The prayer of faith, which is James 5:15. And then the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19. And then the prayer of binding and loosening, Matthew 18:20. The prayer of thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6. The prayer of worship, 1 Timothy 2:8. And the prayer of intercession, Romans 8:26. Hallelujah. That's the seven types of prayer. I told you I was going to minister to you this morning about prophetic prayer. Do you notice prophetic prayer is not a type of prayer in the Bible? It's not listed in the seven types of prayer. Hallelujah. It is not a type of prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now listen at the statement that the Holy Ghost spoke to me back in July. We were on our way to Jamaica. Y'all probably remember Bishop Silas Johnson. You know, his wife passed away, and Susan and I were flying to Jamaica July the 22nd of this year to perform a wedding for him. He was remarrying, hallelujah. And so on our way down there, and I'm going to preach the Sunday after the wedding at a church, and the Lord said, I want you to preach on prophetic prayer Sunday. I said, that's good. That's great. What is it? I mean, I'd really like a little help here before we get to church. Praise God. And could you just share something with me about prophetic prayer? I know about the prayer of agreement. I know about the prayer of faith. I know about the prayer of this and that. I said, tell me about it. And then he spoke this to me. Listen to this. He said, prophetic prayer is not a type of prayer. Prophetic prayer is a place of prayer. Now, I want you to take hold of that. Prophetic prayer is not a type of prayer. Prophetic prayer is a place of prayer that we step over into when we are praying if we go far enough to pray. Hallelujah. Everybody say a place of prayer. A place of prayer. Say a place of prayer. A place of prayer. Hallelujah. Say this after me. Say, prophetic prayer, is a place of prayer. Glory to God. See, listen to this. I don't know if y'all can see the line here where the carpet changes colors. But I can step over that line like this. Okay? In prophetic prayer, when you are praying and you get to a place in prayer and you step over into prophetic prayer, everything changes. And I'm going to explain it to you. Everything changes. Your language changes. Your heavenly language changes. Your authority in the realm of the Spirit goes to a higher level. All spirits in the realm of the Spirit, all spirits of darkness, all spirits of light, they all know that you just stepped over a threshold. And it wakes everybody up. I'm telling you, it wakes up your angels, glory to God. It wakes them up, hallelujah. I mean, it causes demons to tremble when you step over that place. Now, listen, prayer causes them to tremble, just plain old prayer in Jesus' name. Hear what I'm saying? I'm not making light of them. But what I am saying, there is a place of prayer that Jesus got to, Elijah got to, Elisha got to. Hallelujah. Paul got to. You can get there. If Jesus got there, you can get there. The only thing you and I can't do that Jesus did is hang on the cross. Thank God. Are y'all with me? Paul got in that place of prayer. I believe that's why he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, because he stayed in that place of prayer. So if Paul can get there, if other disciples can get there, if other people in the Bible could get there, then how many know God is no respecter of persons, and you and I can step over into a realm, into a place of prayer, woo, glory to God, that releases such authority in the realm of the Spirit that demons flee and angels show up. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Demons flee and angels show up. You know, Paul said it this way. Paul said, though I speak with tongues, with the tongues, plural, of men and of angels, but I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men, and tongues is plural there, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now listen, when we get back, and your pastor can correct me, your pastor can tell me to shut up and sit down, and I will obey him. When we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, we get a heavenly prayer language.
Yes, we do.
Okay? Everybody that's ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you received at that moment your heavenly language. It's not somebody else's, it's yours. It's totally different than anybody else's. And listen to this now. When you pray in your heavenly language, heaven knows it's you. Hallelujah. Why? They know your heavenly language. In other words, they know my heavenly language. They know Pastor Chris's heavenly language. They know Pastor Debbie's heavenly language. They know my wife's heavenly language. They know Pam's and Doug's, and I can't name all of you. Hallelujah. But they know Mom's heavenly language. They know all of our heavenly languages. If you're bad, don't matter if you're, how old are you? 15? If you're 15, they know your heavenly language. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. How old are you?
15.
Hallelujah. You know what? If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, heaven knows your heavenly language. And we can't discount 15-year-olds.
That's right.
We can't discount 8-year-olds.
Come on.
My wife went back to our... God told my wife, I want you to go back to the 4- and 5-year-olds and you're going to teach the class. This was years and years and years ago. She went to the 4- and 5-year-olds and started teaching that class. And next thing I know, they're all baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. 5-year-olds praying in other tongues, going home and laying hands on grandma and granddaddy. Hallelujah. So you're not too young, and you certainly aren't too old to pray in the Holy Ghost. And if you're here this morning and you've not received your heavenly language, we're going to give you an opportunity to do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, listen, it said tongues. There are over 7,000 dialects of tongues on earth. Matter of fact, it's 7,111. 7,111. And it says, and of dialects of tongues. Hallelujah. One time we were in Florida, and we were laying out in the sun. Now, I think that's what you ought to do. Go on vacation, lay out in the sun. You know why? Because Peter went to Simon the Tanner's house and went up on the roof. As far as I'm concerned, he went up on the roof to lay out in the sun, and he had a vision. So every time we lay out in the sun, I'm expecting a vision. Hallelujah! But we're in Florida, laying out in the sun, and all of a sudden, I hear this family down to my right. They were Asian family. They were carrying on a conversation. I sat straight up on my chair. I thought, I could go have a conversation with them. I knew I couldn't, but I'd prayed in that language. I had heard myself pray in that language to the point I recognized what they were. I didn't know what they were saying. I recognized the language that had come up out of my spirit. Then another time we were in Florida, laying in the sun, and we were praying in tongues too. But there was a group behind us, and they were talking in a foreign language. And I don't know what it was, but I had prayed in that language. And so the father, you could tell the elder statesman of that group, walked by me. And I said, sir, excuse me. I said, now, you might think I'm a little strange. I said, but I want you to know, I'm a pastor. And I said, and we pray in other tongues. We're spirit-filled, and we pray in other tongues. And he's just looking at me. And I said, what language are y'all speaking? He said, Russian. I said, I have prayed in that tongue. And we stood there and had a conversation. Not in Russian. But I mean, we sat there and had a conversation. See, it's tongues of men. Tongues, plural. Meaning that you being baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you can pray in more than one heavenly language. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? And see, our angels become aware when we cross over that realm in the Spirit and in prophetic prayer. And they're waiting for a command from us. Your angels are waiting for a command from you. You know, we all have angels. Can you say amen? And they are equipped and ready to obey the voice of the Word. Hebrews chapter 1 says, but to which of the angels did he say, sit at my right hand? None. He said, they're all ministering spirits that have been sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's us, y'all. We got angels waiting for us to step over and command them to go. Are y'all with me? And then Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels. Listen to this. Who excel in strength and do his word, heeding the voice of his word. See, when you speak the word of God and you command your angels to go and obey the voice of the word, you are the voice of the word. And so your angels will obey the voice of the Word. You should be expecting help with angels. You should be expecting encounters with angels. Hallelujah. It's nothing weird. I was coming, my first encounter, and probably the most impactful encounter I've ever had with an angel, is when I was traveling with CBS in 1982, and my territory was North Carolina to Maine, and I'd been up to Bangor, Maine, and I'm traveling back. And at that time, some of y'all know our testimony. We were so broke we couldn't pay attention. And the only way we could do anything, that I'd do anything in my business, was CBS paid for it. Hallelujah. I had a CBS credit card. I carried no cash with me. Well, toll booths don't take American Express. So I had to, now they do probably. Back then they didn't. So I counted out enough cash to pay for the tolls all the way up to Portland, Maine, and to pay for the tolls all the way back. Well, I forgot that when I got back to get to the Logan Airport in Boston, I had to go through the tunnel. Well, at that time, it cost a quarter to go through the tunnel. I didn't have a quarter. And they don't take American Express for a quarter. I could see that turning that expense in. Hallelujah. So here's five lanes of traffic. You ever been to the Logan Internet? Been to that tunnel? Five lanes of traffic coming into two lanes going through the tunnel, going to the airport. Well, it happened to be cars slowed down to my right, and there was an opening to the right. So I just pulled my car right over there and pulled it up, and there was a brick wall there. No doors, no nothing. Brick wall there. And I put my car in park, and I opened my door, and I got out. I got out, and when I turned around and looked toward the brick wall, there was a man standing there, dressed in a uniform like a guard or whatever, dressed there. He said, sir, what do you need? I'd go back now. I'd say a whole lot more than what I said. He said, sir, what do you need? I said, a quarter. He stuck his hand in his pocket. Yeah, you got a bunch of change in your pocket. You fumble around. He didn't fumble. He stuck his hand in his pocket, pulled it out, and opened his palm of his hand just like that. There was a quarter laying right in the middle of his palm. I reached out and took the quarter. I said, thank you, sir, so much. Turned around, took about a half a step, turned back around to thank him again. He was gone. He wasn't there. He was gone. And there was a brick wall there. He was an angel. And then I said, oh, God, why didn't I ask for $1 million? But you know what? I needed a quarter. He didn't ask me what I wanted. He asked me what I needed. See, sometimes we get our wants and needs confused. He supplies all of our need. Are y'all with me? Glory to God. So you got to make sure that your angels are ready and they will work with you in prayer. Go to Romans chapter 8, and I'm closing. Go to Romans chapter 8. This is a very familiar scripture. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The original Greek and of the Hebrew, the original Greek and Hebrew of this verse reads this way: when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit comes alongside of us, takes hold of our spirit, and prays through us the perfect will of God. Are y'all with me? The Spirit, when we don't know what to pray for, as well. Has anybody ever been here, you knew you needed to pray and you didn't know what to pray for, y'all? Anybody ever been here and you prayed everything you knew and you didn't know what else to pray? That's where tongues come in. And that's why it says, He helpeth our weaknesses and He comes alongside of us. Pastor Doug, can you come help me? Come help me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody give it up for Pastor Doug. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor Doug, just for the illustration of my sermon, you're the Holy Ghost. You're the Holy Spirit. Now go over there. Please. Stay right there. Okay? Now, I'm praying. Lord, I'm praying. I bless this. I bless Cornerstone Fellowship Church. Lord, I lift up Pastors Chris and Debbie Morgan. I lift up all their leaders. I lift up Pastor Doug and Pam. I lift up, you know, Wiley and Heather. I lift up all the staff. I lift up all the volunteers. I lift them up there. And now, Father God, I done prayed everything I know to pray. I don't know what else to pray for as all. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to let you pray through me, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. You're the Holy Spirit. All right. So the Holy Spirit, come on. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. Come on. And I'm praying. Kala brasaka ta rabakate. And the Holy Spirit's alongside of me. But then we get to a place in prayer. And I get to a place praying in the Spirit. And we step over. And we step into that place of prayer that now it's no longer me praying. Y'all looking at me strange. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit takes hold of my spirit. That's my spirit. That's my shoulder. That's my spirit. Take hold of my spirit. Take hold. And He prays through me. Shambakata. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Handelekata brazo bogata. Regarabakasata. Now He's praying. Come on. He's praying. Hey. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's praying through me. Yando la bokasala. Now He takes me to a whole new level. He takes me to another level. Because the Holy Spirit is now praying through me. Ya talala bakasakata. Ya talala bakalala makate. Lerebrosata rabagande. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? You want to get to that place in prayer. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost. Until He comes and takes hold of your spirit. That hurt when you took hold of my spirit, but He went. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost until the Holy Spirit takes hold of your spirit. And He then begins to pray through you. What does it say? The perfect will of God. Now listen. When you allow this to happen, your tongue will usually change. It will usually become more, well, not usually, it will become more impactful in the realm of the Spirit. You know, shakata la bakata. We got a pastor on staff that all our pastors have been to prayer school. All our pastors pray. All their wives are prayer warriors. They all pray. We got one pastor on our staff. And he would always pray, Pastor. Shakataka, 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 shakataka. Sika, sika, tika, taka, shakataka, shakataka. Shika, 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 shakataka, shakataka. We're not going to put this online because I don't want him to... No, I'm just kidding. But he that's how he would pray. And even if the prayer meeting was at a higher level. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, Honda Rabakasa. Yeah, terrible kotolodo broshate. It's not that God's death that I get loud. It's just that it rises up on the inside of me and I'm ready to do battle in the Spirit. And I want the Holy Ghost to pray through me with a force that changes things in the realm of the Spirit. And so a couple of weeks ago at prayer on a Wednesday night, he's praying because we let anybody pray that wants to pray. And he came up and grabbed the mic and started praying. And after he started, Pastor Susan and Debbie, Donna Bennett over our prayer ministry, they went up, got behind him, Pastor, and said, pray in another tongue, pray in another tongue. And he kept on going. And then they hit him in his back. And when they hit him in his back, I mean, they slapped their hand on his back. And when they did, he went, I mean, he took off, he screamed, and his tongue changed, and there was a breakthrough in the realm of the Spirit that night. God was waiting on him to break through in his own prayer life so that we could all break through. Oh, I hope you're hearing this. It might be you that needs to break through. And when you do, the church follows you through. Glory to God. Woo! Are y'all with me? So, say this. Say, I'm going to pray in other tongues until the Holy Ghost carries me over. I'm going to pray in other tongues, in my heavenly language, till the Holy Spirit comes and starts praying through me. I'm expecting. Say, I'm expecting a new prayer language. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I see, I got to have a new prayer language. I have to have a new prayer language if I'm going to pray in Russian. If I'm going to pray in Asia, Chinese or Asian, whatever it was. If I'm going to pray in other languages that I pray, it's not the same tongue. You know, yin, yang, yang, that's different than shakata, bakata. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm not making fun of it. Please don't think I am. I'm just wanting you to know. Now, there is nothing wrong if you only pray in the prayer language you got, in the heavenly language that's been given to you. Keep doing it. But be willing. Everybody say, I'm willing. Be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of your spirit and begin to pray through you. You'll know it when it happens. Now, how many of you know when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is involved? I'm not talking about that. The Holy Spirit's involved when you're praying in other tongues. But there comes a place in prayer. There's a place that you get to when you are praying in other tongues and you step over. And when you do, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost takes hold. Now your mind knows, it ain't you doing this. You're praying in a tongue you've never heard before. You're praying with a fervency that you've never felt before. And you know, your mind knows, you're praying in a level of authority you've never prayed in before. Are y'all with me? Now listen, I'm going to make two last points. Is that okay? When you get in that place of prayer, things happen. Okay? Now, God will begin to speak in you when you're in that place of prayer. And not only begin to speak in you, but you'll begin to speak out of your spirit what He's speaking in you. Let me give you an example. I was coming to church one morning. We live 50 minutes from our church on purpose. No, just kidding. But I was on the way to church, and I started praying in tongues when I left home. And when I got to Statesville, which is 25 minutes from our home and 25 minutes from the church, when I got to Statesville, my tongue intensified. I mean, if somebody had been riding up beside me, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. If somebody had been riding up beside me and had saw me, they'd wonder what was wrong with me. But I mean, I intensified. My tongue intensified, and I knew I had crossed over. And all of a sudden, now listen, this will happen to you. All of a sudden, my tongue changed. It changed from tongues to English. I never thought about it. The next words that came out of my mouth were words of prophecy about our church. I didn't think it. It just came straight out of my mouth. It wasn't just casually praying in tongues. No, we stepped over a place. And when you do that at home, God will give you words. God will speak something out of your spirit and you declare it in the spirit. Are y'all with me? And God will change. It'll change your life. It'll change your business. It'll change your finances. It'll change your home. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Glory to God. If you're here this morning,